starting a whole new series. It's entitled Becoming Awesome from the Inside Out. We're going to be looking together at the verses that we read in Galatians, and especially we're going to focus on those verses which are called the fruit of the Spirit. We'll spend quite a bit of time thinking about those. And my plan is to go with this theme all the way through till Christmas. The fruit of the Spirit is how Christians grow. It's how we change. It's how God works in our lives. It's how God works in our lives supernaturally. You know, what do we become when God is at work in us? What do we become like? If you've ever wondered what God is doing in your heart and where He is at work in your life, you're going to find the next few months encouraging. When Jesus was with His disciples the night before He was crucified in the upper room, He shared with them that He was going to be leaving them. And they were horrified because they didn't want Him to leave. They'd been together for 3 to 4 years, almost the entire time. And the last thing they wanted to do was to be left alone. And during the time that they were together, Jesus spoke to them and He said, "Look, when I go, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit is going to be in each and every one of you. And He's going to help you. And He's going to pick up where I left off. And it's actually better if I go and give Him to you than just me, one person, being with you." So after He rose from the dead, He met with His disciples again, and He explained to them in Acts chapter 1 that they should wait. They should wait in Jerusalem, and that at the time that was just right, He was going to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to help them to fulfill the mission of Christ in the world. And so while they were waiting, and while they were praying in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And when He fell upon them, they went out into the streets of Jerusalem during the Jewish feast of Pentecost and started telling everyone and anyone who would listen what Jesus had done for them. And Peter stood up and began speaking, and he spoke to a large crowd of people. And when he was done speaking, they said to him, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And as you read through the entire book of Acts, what you see there is that was the message of the early apostles as they went out into all the world. Repent, believe in the message of Jesus, and receive the Holy Spirit again and again and again in every city where they went. Many of you know that my wife Donna and I have two dogs, and they are very, very active, so even though we have a fenced-in backyard, that's not enough, and they still need more exercise, and they need to be walked. And so most days in the evening, she and I will go out walking together in the neighborhood. And for us, it's a form of exercise. It's a time to get outdoors. It's a great time for us to connect, to talk with one another about what the day has been like, and to see what's been going on, how we're each feeling. And it's kind of become a very meaningful part of our routine as a family. And I would like to suggest to you, based upon the passage that we're going to study today, that growing as a Christian is like walking with the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking at verses 16, 17, and 18 alone. And we're going, and this is what I want to show you about our relationship with the Holy Spirit from these verses. It's a long walk together. We don't always want the same things. And we learn to trust His lead. It's a long walk together. We don't always want the same things, and we learn to trust his lead. In verse 16, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Paul tells us that we are to walk by, walk in, or walk with the Spirit. And when we walk by the Spirit, we are not alone. We are together, the Spirit and I. And if we didn't have the Spirit, we would be by ourselves. We would be left to our own desires and our own designs in life. But we are not by ourselves. We walk in, we walk with, and we walk by the Spirit. And this image of walking with the Spirit for me is tremendously helpful. Sometimes in the church, we can emphasize so much trusting Jesus, we give the impression that that is all there is to it. You make a decision for Christ, and then you just get on with your life. That perspective is short-sighted, it's hard, and it's lonely. Just like I look forward to my daily walk with Donna, we can each look forward to walking with the Holy Spirit through every circumstance of life. That is what we believe. That is who the Holy Spirit is. And our life together with him is like a long walk. And if life is a long walk with the Spirit, then we can welcome him into every single part of our day. This means that at the beginning of every day, we can pause and consider right at the outset his presence with us. Good morning, Lord. Listen to him speak to us when we open his word, the Bible, and pray that a sense of his presence would be with us as we go through everything that we know is going to happen that is scheduled for that day. Then, as we're going through the events of the day, we can welcome him into the things that we are experiencing and feeling throughout the day. Are you having a difficult time with another person? That never happens, right? Ask him to help you with that. Are you feeling discouraged about how your day is turning out? You can share that with him. Are you nervous about something that's coming up on your schedule? Pause and remember his presence and pray before, during the challenging event that you're expecting. And at the end of the day, we look back over the day. And perhaps there are things in which we've seen him and felt him right there with us, and we've sensed his love for us, and we pause and we give thanks and we celebrate and we praise him for his faithfulness. Sometimes we get to the end of our day and we feel like a failure. So we confess to him our feelings and anything we know or thought or did that was wrong. Do we need to mend a relationship? Then we ask him to help do that. There are times of joy and there are times of struggle. And at the end of the day, we can reflect upon his presence and invite him back into the areas where we've struggled. Every single day is a long walk with the Holy Spirit. And he is in every part of it, even the negative stuff, even our failures. We do not walk alone. And he is a prayer or a believing thought away all the time. Sometimes we don't always want the same things. Sometimes when I go walking with Donna and our dogs, we don't always agree. Maybe I'm tired and I really don't want to walk that far. Maybe I've got a meeting, so we have to wrap it up sooner. She doesn't seem to mind if it's raining lightly, but I really don't like that at all. Sometimes the dogs don't always behave so well, and that really bugs us, and we end up on opposite sides of that situation. Sometimes when we walk, our conversations don't always go that well. We can disagree. We can be frustrated with one another's perspectives on things. There have even been times when we ended the walk or split up and walked home separately. If walking with Donna, the person I love the most, doesn't always go so well, why do we think that our walk with God may not be a challenge? It is quite possible that our desires and God's desires may clash. In verse 16 and 17, this is exactly what he's describing. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so we hear this expression, the desires of the flesh. And at first glance, it appears to be a discussion about the wants of our bodies or the wants of our human flesh. And while that can be part of it, you need to know that Paul is using this term, the flesh, here in kind of a technical way, different from our bodies, because our bodies in and of themselves are not evil, and it is his intention to redeem our bodies in just the same way it is his intention to redeem our minds and redeem our spirits. In our passage and in other parts of Paul's writings, he's using the term to describe that part of ourselves that wants to live life apart from or opposed to God. It's our selfish side, it's our proud side, even our evil side. In some versions of the Bible, the term the flesh is translated the sinful nature. And we see in verse 17 that while we are walking with the Spirit, we will want things differently than He wants for us and find ourselves conflicted sometimes within ourselves. God knows this about us. The Spirit knows this about us. One of the main messages of our modern culture today is that you need to look within yourself to find out who you really are. Nobody else can tell you what you are. You need to discover that for yourself. Your identity is what you find when you look down deep within. And when you find your identity, then you will discover your purpose in life and you will discover your direction in life. And in this perspective, ultimate freedom is self-discovery and determining your own self-identity. You have to be true to yourself and authentic to your self-identity. And that perspective raises some questions for me personally in my own experience. What if I don't like what I find when I look within? What if I'm disappointed with myself? What if I'm conflicted inside and I find multiple things going on within myself that are opposed to one another? What if I like changes? What if my life changes and I need a new identity because circumstances have changed? In my experience, the deep inward look is not always so positive, it's not always so refreshing, and it's not always so hopeful. Christianity views the inward look as a mixed bag. We were made in God's image, and we still bear that image even in our brokenness and even in our fallenness. But we are also damaged and sinful. And there is this part of us that is against God and resists Him and resents Him and wants to do things without Him and even against Him, the flesh, the sinful nature. But as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, God's very self, the third person of the Trinity, living within us. So when we look within, and what we find there is not so positive, he is right there to help us. He knows what we are made of. He knows we sometimes delight in wrong and not in good. And he wants to take us on better routes for our walk, but we often stubbornly insist on our own way and say, yep, thanks, but no thanks, God. Paul mentions the desires of the flesh. These are ways in which our desires go astray, go contrary to, and lead us away from God rather than towards him. They could also be ways in which we harm others because of what we want out of the relationship. So when we insult people, or judge people, or unkind, or resentful, or gossip, or worse, as Christians, we do not view all of our desires as inherently good. Some of them just aren't. They aren't. And our desires can really lead us very much astray and interrupt the beauty of our walk with God. Now, some would say that Christians are too negative. We spend too much time thinking about what is wrong. And we are fixated on putting ourselves down. And we are way too pessimistic. And this observation would be right if God is like Santa Claus in the song, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so you better be good for goodness sake. And if God is just an all-seeing eye who is looking to judge us when we step out, then Christianity really is going to seem like a real downer. But what Paul is describing here is not that. Paul is describing how the Spirit knows that there are times when we want things that are not good for us. There are times when we want things that will not help us, and we can want things that will harm us and harm others. And what is more, we don't always see this about ourselves. Sometimes we're blind. Sometimes we're immature, and sometimes we trust our feelings way too much, and then we get striking off on our own, ignoring the Spirit, and we wander. And the Holy Spirit helps us to evaluate our desires. It is okay to look hard and close at your desires, all of them, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to lay them out, to even express them in prayer and conversation with God, to allow him to sift through them to see where they come from and where they are taking us, and ask him to help to refine them and purify them and redirect them towards good and towards life and towards love and towards himself. I am feeling this way right now, God. I want this. Will you help me? We see this in the passage which we opened up with for our call to worship in Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. A Christian is someone who has the Holy Spirit living within him or living within her. And they are learning not to trust all of their feelings and all of their desires. It's not denying them. It's not stuffing them. It is sifting them and yielding them to him. And as a result, we learn to trust his lead. We learn to trust his lead. One of my greatest pleasures in coming here to West Church has been being able to go with several of you around here to the places that you enjoy the most. One of our first times here, somebody took us on a long drive up the coast of Essex County and showed us every beach from here to there. We recently went on a coastal trip of New Hampshire and a little bit of Maine. Somebody has shown us parts of Vermont. Some of you have taken us walking in beautiful places. Some of you have shared your favorite restaurants with us together. We've enjoyed enjoying the places that you enjoy together. And we've enjoyed being together and learning to enjoy the things that you enjoy. And one of the nicest things about these trips and these meals and these places is that all I had to do was just come along. You led, and we were just with you. In verse 18, Paul says, "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Paul speaks here of being led by the Spirit. That is, we are walking the walk of life, and as we are placing in our feelings and our desires before him and asking him about them and confessing when we are wrong, we begin to recognize him leading us. And when it comes to making decisions and responding to other people and dealing with hardships, we come to believe that he is right there with us, and that we are his, and that he is ours, and his desires for us become a more normal response rather than our own. And his love for others becomes the way we routinely respond to others rather than our own desires or wants. And after journeying together, we come to recognize what pleases the Spirit and come to love him and want to please him with our every thought and our every action. And we are quick to confess when we fall short instead of defending or running from it. When we become better friends with the Spirit and learn to trust him more, we sense him leading us, nudging us, and using us to bless other people and to honor him. And our thoughts become intertwined with his thoughts, and we hear him speak from the Bible, and we listen immediately, and we trust, and we follow. And we're walking together, but he's leading the way. Paul says that when we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. To be under the law is an expression for living by rules and feeling condemned when you don't break the rules. Walking with and being led by the Spirit sets us free from a sense of unlimited obligation and condemnation. The condemnation part is taken away because the Holy Spirit is always reminding us of the fact that we've been set free by Jesus' death for us on the cross. We see this earlier in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, "When the time had fully come, God sent his Son. He was born of a woman. He was born for those under the law to redeem them from under the law, so that we might become his adopted sons and daughters." And because you are his sons and daughters, he has sent the Spirit into our hearts who cries out, Daddy, Father. You are no longer slaves. You are sons and daughters. We are not under the law because Jesus has redeemed us out from under the condemnation of the law. We are set free from an unlimited sense of obligation because we are God's sons and daughters. A family member is not a slave to God. A family member is not an employee of the boss. A family member is cherished, loved, and delighted in by blood bond or even by adoption bond, legal bond. And as children, we enjoy getting to know and trusting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as they guide us. Walking with the Spirit isn't a job to do or a duty to fulfill, but wanting the will of the one who loves us, who goes with us, and has our very best at heart, no matter how dark the moment may seem. So when we doubt, we lay those feelings and desires before him, and we express them, and we ask him to help us to trust him, because we know what he is like and what he has already done for us. We trust, we listen, and we let him lead. We let him lead. Just about finished this morning. I do want to remind you that there is a Let's Connect card in the room here. It's found in the seat in front of you. And if you're here for the very first time, I want to extend a very warm welcome. And I'd love to connect with you and talk with you, and that this card allows me to do that. It's also a tool for everyone here, whether you want to become a member of the church and be baptized or to join in a class called Understanding Your Walk with God. We have a beginner study that folks are able to take you through if you'd like to be a part of that. If you want to share what God is teaching you with me this morning, or if you want to share a prayer request, all those things can be done by using that card, and you simply drop it in the plate on your, just inside the door here as you're heading out. We started this passage in Galatians about our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, and we've seen three things. It is a long walk together. We don't always want the same things, and we learn to trust his lead. I want to mention just one more thing from verse 18 where Paul says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Many, many people believe that Christianity is just a list of really difficult rules that are imposed upon people by an ancient religion with the hope that people will somehow embrace the rules and really try hard so that God will accept them and take them to heaven. Do you know the Taliban believes that? Paul says here, we are not we are not under the law. We are not under the rules. What does that mean? This is really important, and it's going to come out more as we study this passage, but Christianity is not a religion of rules that we are trying to do in order to get God to like us. The Christian life is a walk together with God by the Holy Spirit because Jesus died for our guilty rule breaking. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our judgment has been taken away, and the long walk together that now ensues is a walk of faith with partners that love one another and are committed to one another. We don't obey in order to get God's approval. We obey because we have it. We don't obey in order to receive the Holy Spirit. We obey because we have the Holy Spirit. And our relationship with God was fundamentally changed. Before we trusted Jesus, we were outsiders, but God has brought us in. He has come to us, He forgave us, and now He lives in us, and we do life together. We are transformed now until we see Him face to face. Totally different thing from trying to get God's approval. We have it, not because we earned it or deserve it, but because we believe that Jesus took away our condemnation, and we are now God's children. And we don't even have the Holy Spirit because we try so hard. We have the Holy Spirit because we believe God gave Him to us. Such a huge difference. I hope that each and every one of you here today understands this. That you have a living relationship with the God of heaven because He dwells within your heart. And if you don't know that yet, whether you're here in this room or whether you're listening online, turn to Him. Do what Peter told the believers to do in Acts chapter 2. Repent for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for every single person here today and those who are listening. Cause your Spirit to reign among us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Break our pride. Break through our sinful nature and grant us hearts that are full of thanksgiving, love, praise, and appreciation for all that You are. And teach us how to walk in the midst of our fallenness, day by day, step by step, finding out that Your will is always better and Your way is always best, and that Your love can't be measured or imagined, but only enjoyed. Help us this way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.